It's a very special honor to be able to be with you all this morning and worship with you. My wife here is with me this morning, Darlene, and just a month ago we celebrated our 53rd wedding anniversary, and we've been in ministry that entire time, and God has been so good to us. He's taken through joys and struggles and trials, but He has always proved himself very faithful. My life verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10, where it says, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace was bestowed upon me. It was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me." You look at that verse, you see, first of all, God's divine grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul says, "I'm here because of what God has done in my life." And I can say the same thing, because God saved me at the age of 21. I had never knew about Jesus until that time. And somebody introduced me to Jesus, and He changed my life. Then he said, the divine motivation. That's why I serve Him, he said, because of God's amazing grace. And he said, it's really not I, but it's God's grace within me. So his divine attitude towards us. As I said, I've been in ministry the entire time, but the last 15 years of ministry, I love. We served at Meadowood Manor, your senior's home in Connecticut, and had such an amazing privilege of being able to minister to seniors and encourage them. And we believe that God prepared us just for that time. In fact, just last Friday, I was back there again doing a funeral for a very, very dear friend of mine from there. But I wanted to share a little bit out so you know a little bit. I'm an American. I was born in Idaho, but lived in Oregon until my 19th birthday when I went to Bible school in Saskatchewan. A fellow told me that there was a Bible school there that I should go to, so we went to Miller Memorial Bible Institute. That's where I met my wife. And we have two children. One's an RN, and the other's a pastor. He's been pastoring the same church now for, I think, about 27 years. And he loves it, and he loves the ministry, and he loves what he does. About 4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, my wife ended up in the hospital, and she was there for 77 days. And after she got out, 10 days later, I decided I wanted to go to the hospital. And so I had a stroke. And I was in the hospital for over a month. They told me I would probably never walk again. And I would never be able to do anything again. But God is so, so faithful. We had such an amazing staff of healthcare aides and those that worked with me that God gave me the ability to be able to walk again and talk again and move my hands again. I couldn't even move my hands before, but God was so good and so faithful. But this morning, I want to talk to you about a very, very familiar passage of Scripture that you will, you probably, many of you almost have it all memorized. But I want us to look at, don't worry, or don't be anxious. And I want to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. It's really be on the screen if you just want to follow along. "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ, through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are good, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any, I missed a lot of passages, sorry, I'll go back up again. Whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praise, these anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me do, and the God of peace will be with you." And so this morning, we want to talk about don't be anxious. One of the things I like doing is I like walking through cemeteries. You might not think that's a very good thing, but I spent a lot of time in Sarah Cemetery being a chaplain at a senior's home, and I have done many, many funerals. And as I walk through the cemeteries, I like to look at the tombstones and what they say on them. And some of them, you can learn a lot about the person just by looking at his tombstone. But a while back, someone said that almost every one of us should put on our tombstone these words: hurried, worried, buried. It had like the way many of us live. We're just all worrying about it all the time, and we're hurrying and trying to get things done. Or some of us said we should just put on the words fear, stress, and anxiety. Every single one of you that are here this morning, you deal with anxiety. Anxiety is a part of our life. But did you notice that in Philippians chapter 4 there, he talked about what you think about. And what you think about is very, very important. When I was in high school many, many years ago, we had a professor that would say almost every time we had class, "I want you to put on your thinking caps today. I want you to remember what I'm going to tell you." And this is what Paul is saying right here in Philippians chapter 4, because our minds are very important. Our minds are amazing. You stop and think about it. Someone said that we probably average about 50,000 thoughts a day, which is 18 million thoughts a year. Some of you might have more, some of you might have less, but isn't that amazing, all the things that go through our minds? And the Bible has a lot to say about what we do. The Bible has a lot to say about our minds. It says in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, "As a man thinks in his heart, so he is." As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Then it says in Romans chapter 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Then there's a verse in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, where God says to us, "Come now and let us reason or think or meditate together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." Can you picture that? God sitting down with us and us realizing who we are, confessing our sins. That's our minds. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, "Set your minds on things above." In Colossians, in first two chapters, he's told us about Christ's supremacy, that he's over everything, that he controls everything, he made everything, that he's over the church, that he's supreme, and nothing compares to him. And then he says, "Now then, this is your responsibility. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth." Then in Romans chapter 8, he says, "Those that are enlightened, those that live have a worldly mind, they live a worldly life." After Romans 8:1, he says, "Where there's no condemnation," they talk about those that don't allow God to have his way. So I want you to, again, read Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think about such things." Again, realize we're all worried, and we worry about all kinds of things. Worry about our family, worry about our health, worry about our finances, worry about our marriage, worry about our children, worry about our job, our relationships, our church, the future. There's so many things that we worry. We even see Jesus in John chapter 12, where it says he was facing the cross, and he was uneasy, and he says, "If it be so, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." So first of all, I want you to look at the problem. He tells us the problem in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. "Be not anxious." Now that word, anxious or worry, is made up of two Greek words. And it means to have a divided mind. When we're worrying, we have a divided mind. We're thinking about this and what it should be. Our minds are divided. We're really not trusting God. And when anxiety is really a thief, because it steals our peace, it steals our confidence, it steals our joy. When we're worrying all the time and our minds are filled with fear and concerns, it destroys our joy. Secondly, the prescription. He says, don't worry. That's pretty good, isn't it? And he said, well, that's easy to say, but that's not easy to do. But the passage of scripture that was read to us from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 says, reminds us that we have a heavenly Father. Talks about the birds of the air. How they go about, and they don't worry because they have a heavenly Father. Let me just quickly read that to you. Matthew chapter 25. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or drink, or what your body, what you shall wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They do not sow or reap or store in the barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? And then he goes on and he reminds us that we have a watchful God that's always watching over us. Listen to verses 30 and 31. If that God is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the fire, will he not clothe you, O you of little faith? And then he reminds us that we have a trustworthy God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, because he's faithful and trustworthy, and we can know that he's always there. So we see the problem, we see the prescription, and we see the prayer. And prayer is the solution. Oops, sorry. He says, pray. Don't be anxious, pray. And he's really telling us to redirect our attention from worrying to giving it to God. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses that you can probably quote, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. Isn't that a great verse? That we can always cast our care upon him. And the next verse tells us why we need to do that. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walking about and seeking whom he may devour. Did you know that when you're always worried and always concerned, Satan comes along and says, God doesn't really care about you. God isn't really concerned about you. He can't handle your problems. He can't direct your life. And he causes us to live in defeat. But instead, he says, when we pray, we're going to redirect our attention to him, casting all your cares. Same root word as worry, our anxiety. And then we see the promise and the peace of God. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds. That means he's going to guard your heart, what you feel, what you're feeling, and your mind. And isn't that where we get defeated in our with worry, what we think about, and how we feel, our emotions? He says, he'll guard your hearts and your minds. Remember Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3? Thou keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Remember Daniel in the lion's den? He knew God was in control, so he just laid down and went to sleep. And God protected him, didn't he? God walked over him. Or we think of the disciples in the storm that learned that God, as long as God was there, they didn't have to worry. And so the prescription that he gives, it begins to us, when you have anxiety or worry, we need to pray. We pray with supplication, with thanksgiving for who he is, and our requests, and he'll give us peace. Now go back and look at Philippians chapter 4 again, one more time. Verse 7 talks about the peace of God. Let me read it to you. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds. And then look at verse 9. It talks about the peace of God. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I call this the peace sandwich. We have the top is peace, and the bottom is peace. And you know what's in the middle? What we think about. That God's in control of all of that. The things that we think about, we can control our thinking. And so he tells us that we need to think carefully. I mean, to meditate, to ponder, to concentrate. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. What do you think about? Do you ever spend some time really thinking about who God is? How powerful he is? That he can control any problem? Someone said, A.W. Tozer said, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. And it really is. What we think about God affects everything. How we feel about life, what God has done, how that God is the creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and that God controls it, and God's in control, and that Christ is sovereign. How we view ourselves, that we are a creation of God. He made us just like we are. He cares about us just like we are. But we think about others, that they're valuable. We think about life and babies and all of that. How we view Jesus. What you think about God is going to affect how you view Jesus. That he is God's son. That he came into the world for us. To die for us. So that we can be forgiven. But it also affects what we view about sin. You know, we live in a world today that takes sin so lightly. That considers that sin isn't very, very, very hurtful. The Bible reminds us of how sin destroys us, how Christ sent his son to die for us because of our sins, that all of us are sinners. How we view heaven and hell. There are people joking about that. Even the political leaders in the States, I hear, are using hell all the time. But when we really believe that heaven is a real place prepared for God's people, we also believe that hell is a real place. Prepare for those that reject him and won't respond to his love. It really affects everything about us, what we think about God. So we need to think rightly. And he says, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is just, just stop and think about each one of those words. Whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think about such things. First of all, I said, whatever's true. God is truth. The world tells us there is no absolutes. There is no absolute truth. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, he said that they may know the truth and that your word is truth. That we can trust God's word as true and accurate and reliable. Believe what is true. And then he reminds us about being noble, about being virtuous, about having a respect for who God is. And he talks about whatever's pure, wholesome, moral. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, how can a young person, keep himself pure by taking heed to your word? The importance of the word of God in Sunday school and all of those, in Vacation Bible School, and planting the word of God in the hearts of young people. He says, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. Now, thirdly, we need to think actively. In Matthew and Philippians chapter 4, he says, whatever, meditate or think about such things. And he says, do such things. These are both in the imperative. I mean, keep on doing. Keep on meditating. Keep on doing what I've done so that you'll have God's peace. Meditate is inward. Doing is outward. Remember the book of James? James chapter 1. He talks about a man that takes the word of God and he reads it, he closes it, and forgets about it. So it's like a man that looks at himself in the mirror. And he walks away without doing anything. Some of us are like that, aren't we? We can listen to the word of God over and over and over again and not let it speak to us. We can become hardened. Even as a Christian, we can be hardened to the word of God because we hear it over and over and over again, but we do nothing. We need to have that inward thoughts and outward actions that we think about God. We need to practice what we profess. And we need to practice what we ponder, what we think about. What do you think about this morning? Do you realize who God is? Do you realize that He's all powerful and that we can trust Him completely? Sorry. The peace of God. Remember, Jesus told us, I'll keep you in perfect peace. So I'm with you always. When you face a storm, so I'm there. When I was in the hospital after my stroke, some verses that I used to use all the time became very, very real to me. Very simple verse like in Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the darkest valley, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What an encouraging verse that became. You're with me. I'm not alone. You care about what I'm going through. And God cares about us. Very simple reminders of how powerful and loving God is. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the awesome privilege of knowing you. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that the Lord Jesus is supreme over everything. He was supreme in creation. He's supreme in the church. He's supreme in this world, even though it rejects him. You have delivered us from hell. You've delivered us from a crisis eternity. Thank you for that. And Father, may we fill our minds with you, with your word. Father, we can fill our minds with so many things. We can listen to the news and become so discouraged. But when we're reminded of your word, it brought us back to you. We can be tempted by people around us and all that goes in around what the world is saying. But your word draws us back to you. Thank you for that. Thank you that we can always trust you and always believe you. Thank you again for this church. Thank you for the pastor. Pray that you continue to encourage and heal and bless. Thank you that this church would continue to be faithful to you. Thank you for their good vacation Bible school that they had and all the children that they were able to reach. We think of the camp nearby and pray for that. Just thank you for all you've done, for the ways to be able to reach out and share with others. Thank you again for your faithfulness and your love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very, very much.
There in the crowd, his body lay.